Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers, when you sign up using promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 moneyline bet on any NBA playoff game. And when you win, it's $150 in bonus bets instantly, thanks to code DNVR. And thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, this is a historic show. It is the first show after Chris Bryant's first Coors Field home run as a Rocky. What a freaking time to be alive.
Bottom line, I will no longer remember April 17th as the anniversary of Ubaldo Jimenez's no-hitter. It will now be the first home run for Chris Bryant. That's how I think we should fairly remember this day.
Like, literally a year overdue.
Yeah, longest literally. Span. 140 plate appearances, the longest span for anyone. Although there was probably a couple guys in there that had like five at-bats and never homered. But we'll forget about that. 140, it was a lot. He talked about it after the game. We talked about Connor Joe. 13-4 loss, six in a row. Was that go down as like a top or maybe bottom 100 loss in the history of the franchise, the way it was? I know you were there. We'll get your
I've got takes.
You've got your takes other side. So I like those takes maybe even better than my own. We'll catch up on some of the minor league guys because it's Tuesday, a.k.a. Minor League Monday, and we've got some more books to kind of to chat about because it's that time. Mother's Day, Father's Day is coming up. You want to get some gifts or get something for yourself. Sit outside.
You're giving some book gift recommendations slash some summer reading.
Slash giving people homework to do. Like, hey, friend, here you go. I will be following up on this in a couple months. Did you read it? I need to know.
Got it.
Those kind of fun gifts. But 13-4 loss last night. Kyle Freeland gives up 9 runs, 7 of which were earned. I think it was 6 runs that was in the second inning. A lot of it having to do just with errors, bad defense, a couple plays throughout the night that were marked as hits that probably could have gone down as errors. Elihuris Montero with 2 errors last night at third base. I asked Freeland if, you know, he gave up a home run to McCutchen. It donged out of 24 out of 30 ballparks. It's like 383 feet. But it also had an expected batting average of like 170. And so because it like landed on the wall, it was very robbable. I was like, you can't fault Profar in that way and say, oh, he should have robbed it. He could have robbed it. Mm-hmm. That would have been nice. There was a double along the way, but it was a lot of just like singles up the middle that you can't help but think like maybe on a different night, this doesn't go down this way, but it just kind of snowballed a little bit. And Freeland said, no, I didn't make my pitches. That's the bottom line. Yeah, those singles, those line drives up the middle were an indicator that I missed my spot. So, you know, he was dismissive of this idea that the defense gave him no support. It didn't give him any support. He didn't say it. I'll say it. Defense sucked last night.
Yeah, you know, something about those Pirates, they were hitting just in all the right spots. I was like, another one. They're just going to keep going. Okay, we're going to bat around. All right.
Yeah, because like you said, where they weren't impressive shots of like, man, he's getting shelled.
But just in the right spot.
They got a team of Wee Willie Keelers. You know what I mean? He's the one who said, hit them where they ain't. That's it. They did that. And as such, Freeland's ERA ballooned from 0.96 to 3.80, which is still respectable.
That's still a fine Coors Field ERA, but...
Yeah. It's not fair. It is what it is.
I will say I enjoyed being at the game, at a game like that, with a score like that, drinking margaritas.
You got a lot of good practice on keeping score. Like, okay, how do I mark that weird one?
Yeah, right.
And Ke'Bryan Hayes singles, And then Daza hits the cutoff man, but maybe a little more lackadaisically than he should have. Mm-hmm. Hayes, you know, sneaks up into second base. There were a couple of those little moments where it's like, defense could have been a little bit crisper. And how do I mark that down? How do I put that in my scorebook? Jaiwan Bey, he reached base his first four times on like a sacrifice bunt. Mm-hmm. That was the Freeland play where he tried to go home. Maybe, you know, he'd probably rather go to first base, get the out. He reached base by an error, had an infield single to Montero that, you know, maybe definitely Arenado would have made over at third base on the backhand. So it was kind of one of those nights. One of the questions that Bud Black was asked post game was about, you know, Montero and his defense. And there were some folks, you know, kind of in the press box saying, you can't run him back out there again after 2.5 errors, right? The half doesn't officially count, but that was rough. At the same time, you know, Ezekiel Tovar, I talked with Bill Schmidt yesterday, got an article coming out here shortly on the dnvr.com. And, you know, they're sticking with Tovar. He's scraping along a little bit offensively. Defensively, he's been good. He's made some plays you go, ooh, he almost made a great play, but he didn't. Or he got a little bit of help from CJ Krohn, right? He went backhand, I think, in the St. Louis series, threw it to Krohn, who had to kind of go down the line, made the tag for the out. But they're sticking with Tovar because he's the shortstop of the future. He's 21 years old. There's still a lot to like. The other options don't really get you excited. They don't move the needle for your future. Tovar is the future needle mover in the same way Montero is too. So you know what? You got to roll him back out there or make him the DH or have him spend a little bit more time at first base. Figure it out. But Montero can be a very important piece to the Rockies' future, and so you can't entirely give up on him just yet.
Yeah, those our future gems weren't really sparkling too much last night.
Yeah, I think it was Nick Roque. We were kind of going back and forth as to what they could do with Montero, and you could roll Blackman out in the right field, and you're not going to get errors out of Charlie, but you are going to get, you know, teams taking advantage of him on the base pass, or he might not get to a ball that falls in that you go, well, that's not an error. He just maybe wasn't quick enough. And the end result is going to be the same thing as an actual fielding error for Montero. Mm. So it'll look a little bit better, maybe aesthetically, but it'll be kind of the same results. And then maybe Chris Bryant goes back to third base. You could do one of those things. Clearly, they're not going to, you know, turn the keys over to third base to Alan Trejo.
No.
Unfortunately.
Maybe they should.
They should.
What can't Alan Trejo do?
Oh, yes.
You know?
Great segue. Yeah, he got him to pitch last night. I think it was in the second inning we put out there on at @DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. All right, what position player do you want to see pitch tonight? It's got those vibes. Came around to it. Someone said Charlie Blackman, and I go, that would be fun.
That would have been hilarious.
How many pitchers can you remember having a big bushy beard? Sean Keeler was there last night. He goes, well, Dallas Keuchel, he's a White Sox guy. Bumgarner, he's more scruffy beard than big beard. But beard, still.
No, that's Dallas Keuchel has a huge beard,
He had it more, you know, definitely more manicured.
But I feel like it's very, it's contained. Charlie Blackman's is not contained.
Someone on Twitter
said, in a good way.
Brian Wilson. But again, we're coming up with two. All right, we'll throw Bumgarner in there a little bit. It's like literally three guys in the last 20 years. We might be forgetting some, but like just for his beard alone, let him pitch.
That would have been funny.
That would have been cool.
Would have been into it. But seeing Alan Trejo come in was hysterical. He looked like he was laughing hysterically.
He was having fun. He should have had fun. He was barely getting the ball over 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I think he threw three pitches and got two outs on like a 56.7 mile per hour slider. That was another thing. The pitches were being recognized as sliders. I don't know how. I mean, you can get movement on a 60 mile an hour pitch. And then sure enough, I think it was Jack Sawinski, you know, after getting two outs on 60 mile an hour, Jack Sawinski hits one, you know, into the second deck for a home run. But, you know, 9 ERA is better than a couple Rockies pitchers here in the last few years.
You know what?
Not too bad. Have some fun.
Did you guys find out why it was Alan Trejo over anyone else?
Didn't seem pressing.
Ask that? No, it didn't seem like a pressing question.
We joked about it. Like, so what did we ask? Because, you know, last night's loss, 13-4, the end result doesn't sound closer than it actually was. You still got whooped by 9 runs, but at one point it was 13-1, and it was 9-0 before Chris Bryant, you know, finally hit his first home run at Coors Field. But it was like, you know, what do you ask in games like this where just everything seems to go wrong, and you might not get the best answers. But Buddy was, you know, not emotional. He was very composed, gave, you know, really, really solid answers. That the Trejo pitching question is a more fun and lighter and looser one for pregame. But we were thinking about it, like, you know,
serving
again, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think he was the only guy that hadn't really gotten into the game by that point, or at least I think Servin might have come in as a pinch hitter in the ninth inning.
He did, yeah.
So they were like, all right, well, Servin, let's get him in at bat, so let's not use him as a pitcher. You know, not everybody can pitch and hit at the same time, Susie, all right? Brian Servin's pretty good. I just don't know that he can do both those things at the same time. Only like a couple hundred people can. Oh, wait, no, one. Just one. Just Shohei Ohtani.
Just Shohei.
That's it. Just Shohei can do that. So that was a fun moment, I guess, to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. I did ask Buddy about, you know, the use of both Ty Block and Carter Seabolt. I mean, the team has two long relievers, I think, because they didn't really trust 3-4-5 in the rotation. And Gomber's been okay. He's given him a little bit of length. Fellner's been okay. Hasn't given them a ton of length. And Urania, outside of his last start, was, you know, really bad. Couldn't get out of the third inning. And so, you know, with Urania starting today, I had to ask Buddy that kind of, it's not that hard of hitting of a question, but it's like, hey, you know, you went to your bullpen. When you've got this guy coming up, is that a concern? And it was, you know what? We just felt like we needed to use both our long relievers. So if Urania has some trouble today against Vince Velasquez,
we've all got 640 trouble.
Start, the Rockies are going to be in a serious, serious world of hurt. Now, we did get good news about Germán Márquez and Daniel Bard. So those are two pitchers. We'll get to that in a second. So those are two guys that you can kind of refresh the lineup in a sense, but even still, less than ideal. Did you feel, or did you get a sense from people around you, like, this is a brutal loss to a Pirates team that's good, 9-7, but it's the Pirates. It's April. The Rockies are supposed to pretend in April and May, like, hey, you know what, maybe, like, the beginning of last year in March, after the lockout, they acquired all these guys, and they moved all these pieces, and it seemed like there's so many things happening that maybe, just maybe, somebody knows what they're doing. Maybe, just maybe, this will work out, and they can be contenders to the trade deadline, because that's all you got to do. All you got to do is be good enough for 4 months, and you can maybe build some momentum, do something at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. That hope is, like, already gone for a team that already has a fan base that's very apathetic towards them. What was the sense that you got last night, or even just your own personal thoughts and just a beating like that?
Well, you know what? You have to remember, I don't know if you could tell from my pictures, I was sitting on the rooftop.
Oh.
So people kind of don't care up there. Yeah. Like, they're just there for a good time. I was getting so annoyed at people doing the wave while Jake Bird was trying to strike dudes out. I'm like, me and my friend Steph kept saying, you don't do that while our pitcher is pitching.
Three strikeouts for the Birdman.
I know. He's back. I love it.
The Birdman's back.
Knock on wood. But yeah, it's so funny. Actually, there were a couple of Pirates fans up in that section that I was sitting in, but they all left early. I'm like, oh, okay.
You couldn't stick around for a 2 hour and 55 minute game?
Exactly.
like,
what the hell is going on here? But I mean, it was fun. Yeah. But it was kind of a quiet game last night though. Like, in terms of fans, the number of people who were there.
Sure.
And it was a beautiful night too, so I was a little bummed to see that it wasn't a little more packed.
Yeah, only 20,000 folks in the building. Attendance is down. Patrick Saunders just tweeted something out here on Tuesday. You know, Rockies average attendance is 25,000, which is still pretty good, but it's 15th in MLB, so that's definitely something that, you know, begs to be, you know, eyed, and we got to keep our tabs on that, because maybe, just maybe, you know, they will, you know, ownership will maybe suffer the consequences of putting together a team like this. Kristen in the chat saying, maybe the Rockies are doing a reverse thing. They suck now, only to kick butt the rest of the season. Playoffs, here we come.
Okay, I will say, she's got a point, because, only because, when that tarot reader came in, she said it was going to be a rough start, but it was going to get better, and there was going to be a surprise halfway through the season.
I know the tarot card reader was probably doing day drinking, but Kristen's definitely day drinking if she's saying this. We love you, Kristen, but I mean, come on. Maybe. Look, the 2017, they did go on a historic run to get in. They were very far out of the final wildcard spot. That being said, they were not that far out of a final wildcard spot, whereas the Rockies right now are dead last in the NL West.
It worries me. Well, you know the saying, you know, you can't win a division in April, but you can lose it. I'm concerned. I'm so worried that this is the 100 loss team.
Great.
I am so concerned looking at how things have been going.
You cannot win your division in April, but you can lose it. 100%. Yeah, absolutely right. That's definitely something to be concerned about. We're not concerned at the bar exactly because we've got Avs and Nuggets watch parties. It's going down here at the confluence of York and Colfax. We're gonna do two things at once there. Die Hard, you know, you get 15% off your tab, food, drink, 20% off all the gear. Of course, we've got a table set up. So if you want to get some of the Nuggets gear or Avs gear and you don't have to worry about paying for shipping and handling, whatever that may be, you can order online if you're not in the area, dnvrlocker.com when you're a Die Hard. You get 20% off on that. Access to the Die Hard's only Discord, 20% off of our big takeover.
April 29th, next Saturday. It is 11 days away.
Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
Yeah, are you going to go? I have rapid. Oh, that's right.
You got a game to cover.
Hmm.
Yeah. Some of us on our off days end up still going to the game.
Some of us.
Whereas you'd be the opposite where you'd be taking off of work to go to work. You'd be taking off Rapids to go to the takeover, which would also be an equally as baller of a move as you did, Susie, last night. Though a couple of people in the press box were like, go home.
Yeah, Danielle tweeted at me and said, go home.
It's like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, she's here? I was like, we had discussed there was going to be some potential to go to the game. It was a beautiful night, though.
It was such a gorgeous night, and it was a hilarious game.
It was. What's not hilarious is Shady Rays. I mean, they're just awesome.
Are you sure those are hilarious? No, those are great. This is fire. This is like your best look.
I don't take this out on the ski slopes. You know, maybe if I can get into the cage and do a little BP, you know, under the turtle shell there, feeling my Zach Veen
kind of vibe. I hope these are Zach Veen approved. Because
unofficial Veen models. I think that's what these are. We are all, don't wait for Zach Veen to get promoted to the big leagues. Go right now. Buy one and get one. From Shady Rays, an independent sunglass company that offers a world-class product that's as good as any expensive pair that either of us have ever worn. Mm-hmm. I've worn expensive pairs. I imagine you have as well.
Yeah. I wore my Shady Rays to the park last night, and I did not lose them.
Let's go.
But I did not remember to bring them with me today. So
You know what? We're going to give you a pass on that. Rockies have a 6-game losing streak. You've got like a 3-4 day haven't lost my Shady Rays streak.
I have a non-losing streak right now.
That's right. But you know what? Fear not. Shady Rays can't really help the Rockies out and give them some wins, but they could help you or anyone else who buys a pair of Shady Rays if you do happen to lose your sunglasses. They're going to go ahead, take care of you, give you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Even if you break them, they're going to hook you up in a big way. In fact, if you don't like your glasses within the first 30 days, they're going to give you a full refund. No risk when you shop at Shady Rays. Go to the Park Meadows Mall and get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses and try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 folks.
Such a good deal.
I'm not sure if there were 200,000 folks bowling last night in the Volo Sport League.
Our coworkers were bowling.
They were getting intense,
oh
man.
Oh my gosh, the chat was popping.
Yeah, Volo Sport, I'm so glad it's come to Denver. I mean, there are cities all around the country. They're in your neighborhood here in Denver, Lodo, Rhino, Uptown, City Park, Highlands, you name it, bocce ball, cornhole, softball, basketball, pickleball, mini golf, bowling, and it's fantastic. You can like drop in, you can do that. There's a beta version where it's $10 a month for 3 months, which is great, or $20 per month, minimum 3-month membership, or $200 for the year, and that was going to get you locked and loaded for so many different kinds of leagues to get yourself, you know, back into action. I know for me personally, when I like reached my mid-20s, maybe late 20s, I was like, there's something missing in my life. And it was like activity. Like it was like, oh yeah, you know.
Oh, I don't do recess anymore.
Kind of
like having recess again.
Or I played baseball and I'd play in the summertime, or I was in a bowling league, like just a lot of different things. Or I'd even just go to my local park and play basketball with kids I grew up with who are also adults now. And then that kind of like goes away and you're like, what's that thing that's missing? My body has like this inactivity. Volo Sport is now kind of allowing you to be a kid again in a lot of ways. Also allowing you to be an adult, because I'm pretty sure we had a drinking league down here on Sunday. They were very loud. So you can have the whole spectrum of of activities.
Yeah, no, we had all the Volo people coming in after whatever game they were coming from. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, this is so fun.
That's cool. Yeah. And you know, the Volo Kids Foundation is a separate 501c3 that provides sports camps to kids in each Volo sports city. So when you play, it allows the kids to play for free. When you bowl, Susie, all three fingers going in? Or are you going too? Brandon, I saw him bowling. He was doing the almost like he was cupping. He had the top, the middle two fingers in.
Oh, he would. No. I'm three. I need, as much stability as I can get because I've got these weak little wrists. They're so delicate and fragile.
Are you looking for the 8-pounders?
Yeah.
You got to. Chris Bryant spoke after the game. It was really good about, you know, leadership and this clubhouse talking about that, you know, he's had three error games. He's had 5 strikeout games in his career. And, you know, he sort of plans on going one-on-one with a lot of the guys on the team to let them know that he and Charlie and Crone, all the veteran guys, like, they've struggled in these moments. And you just got to stick with it. And that baseball is a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true.
That's the headline.
That's it.
There it is.
But besides it being a marathon, and for anyone that's run a marathon, unless you've run it in, I don't know, maybe Kansas, there's little of those, you know, undulating hills or roads where you're like, oh crap, like there's this tiny ass hill and I got to get over it. And I just ran 16 miles and you got to do that. There's peaks and valleys. So it's not a very fun roller coaster, right? Doesn't have any loop-de-loops. again, it's not big ups and big downs, but it's enough that, you know, it can be challenging. So I thought that was really, you know, interesting hearing that from Chris, how he you know, plans to kind of handle this 6-game losing streak, and the fact that, you know, there's still a lot more in the tank, I think, for not only him, but for the team as a whole. Like, they're just not playing their best baseball. Is it their worst baseball? I would say it's a lot closer to the worst than their best. Mm-hmm. Is it closer to their worst than the average? That I don't know yet, right? Like, are
too
they?
Small
is this
of a sample size? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is this actually kind of who they are, or is it more like, no, we're seeing a worst case scenario? It's still a little bit undefined what percentile they're at, right? Are they at the 50 percentile or are they at like 25 and below? Mm. And this is just a really bad stretch and they got to snap it. I think the reason why I go back to saying, you know, maybe this goes down as one of the worst 100 losses, which is, you know, 100 sounds like a lot, but Rex have played close to 5,000 games. It's like 4,700, 48, something like that. But again, just because of this really bad start to the season that they've had. And the fact that Kyle Freeland was your guy to snap that streak against Rich Hill, great veteran, interesting guy to watch pitch, came into the game with an ERA over 7, and you go, this is a game ripe for a win. That was my DraftKings pick of the week, was the Rockies, not just to win with Freeland on the hill, but to win by more than a run, so to win by 2 or more runs. And they got shellacked, so that's rough.
Yeah, this game should have got a lot better. It should have gone so much better. Also, I think you answered Daniel's question in the chat, but how are the Rockies looking going forward? I think if you're still in here, Daniel, you got the answer. Not great.
Well,
right
going,
now.
Going forward, the good news, as we alluded to before, Herman Marquez, he will throw a bullpen session on Thursday and then again on Sunday. So that's really promising for Tommy John. Doesn't even need to get a PRP injection right now.
That's great.
So that is really promising.
I hope this stays great.
Yeah. And so, again, you go, you used up your 2 long relievers in the bullpen. If Urania struggles on Tuesday, does that throw the bullpen out of whack? Well, if Marquez can come back, then maybe, you know, Davis, you know, slides into your long reliever spot. If you need to give somebody a rest, you know, send Connor Siebold back down to AAA, something like that. You can manipulate things when you've got too many players for not enough roster spots. So Marquez is trending nicely. Daniel Bard threw a scoreless inning yesterday in El Paso, Sunday in El Paso, where he struck out 3, did give up a single 2. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Just a single.
See, I was worried that was going to trigger you a little bit.
No,
okay,
you know
good.
What? I'm
good.
Not triggered, because how many home runs did he hit the other night?
17.
Yeah, so something like
over
that.
Over 2 games. It was over 2 games, the 17 homers.
It actually was
17.
No.
It was a lot.
It was so many.
It was too many.
But the fact that Daniel could just keep Tatis just at a single, I'm like, okay, that's good. That's fine with me. That's a win in my book.
It's Barry Sanders in AAA. You know, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
You can only hope to contain him.
Bard did say he's feeling good. He's feeling ready. We could even, by the time we get to the stadium today, he could be activated. He was back at the stadium, too, as well, on Monday,
too. Oh, this is great news. So,
quick little rehab thing. Boom. Worked out the kinks. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be ready sooner than later, which is positive. Also positive, Antonio Senzatella is going to throw three innings today in Arizona, extended spring training game, umpired, you know, the whole thing. The plan is to have him start on Sunday, April 23rd, in Hartford. How about that?
Oh, I love a Hartford rehab assignment. And also that makes sense because the Rockies will be much closer to the East Coast than any other than any of their other farm teams. I love that. I love a Hartford rehab assignment.
Here's the question. Has he ever pitched at Duncan Park yet? Because he was a road goat in 2016.
So that means he has not. No,
he could have maybe had a rehab assignment somewhere along the way, but I don't know.
I don't think he has. I think this might be his first time.
And he could have been on the road if he had a, let's say, double A rehab. Also, it's rare to have the rehab assignment. With on the East Coast like that. But like you said, the situation is perfect for it.
Yeah, there are not a lot. Like I feel like honestly, like we see more Yankees rehab assignments when they are playing against the Yard Goats at Dunkin' Donuts Park, which is now Duncan Park. It's going to take a lot to get used to.
Yes, I'm proud of myself. I said Duncan Park.
And it sounds wrong, but they changed the name.
By the way, will you be buying that box of 25 Duncan visors that I shared with you?
Where did you send me that in Slack? Where is it?
I see random things on eBay, and then I go, oh, so-and-so would find this interesting. And it was literally, it was like $50, but it was like 25 Duncan Hartford Yard Goats visors.
Hold on.
And I'm like, I mean, you don't need that many, but I also go, you know what? You need to know about this. And you, whatever you do, it is in your court, but you deserve to know about that.
You know what? These are obviously a giveaway, and they stole a box of them, and they're trying to sell them. This is so suspicious. It's so fishy. I just called it spishy because I don't know how to talk anymore. I want to report this item as stolen. Like, there's just no way.
Last night, Twitter was popping off for a Monday night for a bad loss. There was a lot of activity.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like people kind of sound off the most when it is such a lopsided, chaotic loss.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It was wild. It was nice to see Connor Joe back.
Oh, my gosh. And you guys got to talk to him, right?
Did.
You put together a story.
We got a story up unlocked at thednvr.com.
You can go ahead and check that out.
Is there a Hartford rehab facility we could segue into an ad read for? No, and we are not partnered with Dunkin' yet.
Yes.
We used to have a coffee sponsor. We're looking for a new one. Susie, let's make this happen. I feel like you're the person to get the deal done. You're the bridge.
I'm the bridge. Did you see on Twitter that I called Chris Bryant's home run right before it happened?
Spencer called it earlier in the day, too. Props to you, though. Props to both of you.
Yes.
That's pretty great.
I didn't see that he had called it, but I'm glad that me and Spencer are on the same page. But I was sitting there and, like, kind of, like, tongue-in-cheek, I was like, if Chris Bryant doesn't hit a homer right now, I'm effing done. And then he did it. And we're, like, freaking out. Lost our minds.
You're like, I don't have to resign from my job. Thank God.
I almost quit because of it.
Yeah.
No, it was, like, tongue-in-cheek, but still, it was a... It was great.
Put two and two together that Bryant homers against and with his former University of San Diego teammate, Connor Joe, in the building. I didn't even put those things together. That was cool. Yeah, Connor was great. He was all smiles, like always, that million-dollar smile that he has. And, you know, this is our first time to talk to him and say, hey, you got traded. How did you feel? And, you know, there's a saying in baseball, you know, your first trade is the hardest. Makes sense. He said, but this one was really tough. It was really hard. And he said, as soon as it happened, he looked at the Pirates schedule and he goes, when are they going to Colorado? Saw that it was April and said, I need to break camp with the team. I need to be on the opening day roster.
Gosh.
That's how much it meant to him to be here, to be in the stadium. You know, he said the Pirates fans have not had a Kojo chant yet. They haven't given him that love.
Pirates fans don't deserve Connor Joe if they have not put together a chant yet. This is outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves Denver. I mean, like...
How could you not?
Besides the organization giving him an opportunity, but, you know, he also said, is like, everyone in the clubhouse and the coach and the trainers, they allowed me to be myself, which... you go, you look at Connor Joe and go, what wouldn't you allowed to be yourself? Like yourself. Mm. You know what I mean? Like there's some people that might be quirky. You go, oh, in not the right environment, your quirk might not be allowed to breathe and just be.
Yeah.
You know, what's okay. Connor's thing? But bottom line is that it goes to show you like someone could look like they've got it going on and like, oh no, they're popular or they've got it, you know, figured out. And it's like, no, they don't. And so having that really good environment allowed him to grow and for the fans to welcome him. So this was a super special place. Stopped for some beans at Huckleberry Roasters on the way.
Oh,
he's a big coffee
yes.
guy. So I go, where did you get your coffee from this morning? He had run out of beans because he makes his own coffee.
He
on the road.
Brings his like what bean grinder on the road with him.
Yep. His manual grinder with the manual burr on it. Because look, if you have electric, too much heat gets generated by the blade. You could lose some of the oils in the beans. There's a lot that goes into that. I'm going to work on a story this year because he was the big coffee guy in the clubhouse. And Chad Cool is a big coffee guy too.
All my coffee dudes. They've left.
That's right.
The Pirates did do a video of Connor Joe talking about his love for coffee.
I didn't see this, really?
It was like a couple of weeks ago. And I might have either I reposted, I don't know. I posted it somewhere. I might have done it just on the DNVR Rockies account, or maybe it was just on my account, but it's actually delightful.
That's cool. That's very cool. I will have to absolutely search that out.
Yeah.
We got to find out who the new coffee boys are. I threw the gauntlet down to Lucas Gilbreth because he said he's starting to get into it.
Hmm.
And he's got some time. And
he's got the free time.
He likes being a leader. Right, and he's like, oh, you know what? I said, all right, I gave you some time. I'm going to check back in with you here in a couple weeks or in a couple months. And so you'll have an opportunity to... you know, to feel good and be the new coffee guy in the clubhouse. He's got that opportunity. You got the opportunity to save some big bucks over on Game Time tickets.
Oh, you know
that's where you go. Is that where you got your tickets last night?
Our tickets were so cheap.
Sub 5 or sub 10?
With fees, it was sub 15.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so great. So cheaper than if you just had walked right up.
Cheaper than if I had walked
right
up.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, you can send the 50-yard line behind home plate, courtside, you name it. You can also do it with, you know, 60% off the face value of the ticket, especially when you wait closer to the start of an event. It's a nice thing that I know forever. It would always confound me how I feel like 2 hours was the cutoff. I don't know why, but it was 2 hours. So you almost had to act 2.5 to 3 hours before an event before you could make a move like that and buy tickets on the secondary market for a hot event or for an ice cold event that no one really wanted to go to, but people had tickets and they had to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And you had to decide so far in advance. Right now, you don't have to do that with Game Time. Actually, sign up now, create an account and use code DNVR. You'll actually get 20% off your first purchase. So if Susie, the next time on an off day, you go into work, technically speaking, you can probably get your tickets for free for you and a friend. You go, hey, you buy the beers. I'll get the tickets. You buy the beers because you created an account and you use code DNVR and you save $20 on that purchase.
Oh my gosh, are you trying to get me to scam my friends? It's genius.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, it is. You're welcome. Join over the 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and have scored the best seats to all their favorite event who have scammed their friends out of a couple free beers. Hit the link in the description to save and get some of those free beers, like maybe a Breck Brew Avalanche Ale.
Ooh.
And look, you don't have to go down to 20th and Blake Street to get some Avalanche Ale. You can actually just go to breckbeer.com, breckbrew.com, go to the beer locator and find out where in your area you can get some, any of the Breck Brews, but particularly the Avalanche Ale. They got a game tonight. Their playoffs start now.
Now.
A few months before the Rockies playoffs. And by a few months, I mean 312 months.
Yeah, something like that. Also, shout out to Kristen who sent you the coffee video on Twitter.
Thank you.
She's got our back.
We're friends again because the Cardinals are somewhere else.
Isn't it so different how the whole vibe just flips once the Cardinals are out of town?
Although I am wondering if some of the NL Central fans and Cardinals fans that we know and love here in our community, in our company, if they're going to be mad if the Rockies like don't win one game in this Pirates series. They can't hold that against us, can they?
I feel like if they don't realize they're holding it against us.
That could be the Breck Brew talking, but like, don't let that get the best of you.
Is this still a Breck Brew ad?
Enjoy yourself. It's now again. We're bringing it back.
Okay, it's back. It's
to
back.
The Avalanche Ale because they're going to make it run for the Stanley Cup. Can we have two parades this summer?
Do I have time for that many parades?
Double parades. And then in October after the World Series, no parade.
Yaga, are we getting a Rapids parade?
Rapids parade. Are we getting a Rapids on the front page of the Denver Post if they win the MLS Cup? Maybe it'll be at the bottom. Maybe it'll at least be at the bottom of the page. But you know what I've seen? I think at the top. At the top of Denver Post, mm-hmm. certainly like on a full back page, certainly, you know, on a bus, is advertisements for Backus and Schenker.
Backus and Schenker.
Because they win. They are going strong. I don't know how many years they've won the lawsuit championship. But they're amazing. They're fantastic, partially because you don't have to pay them until they win for you. Like, you can even just call them, get consultation. It's amazing. All their work is free until they can win you money. So there's no upfront fee just to speak with them. No fees at all while they're working on your case. No fees until they win your case win money for you. They've won it to the tune of over $1 billion. And that's thanks to the fact that they got over 100 folks on staff, 30 lawyers there. Mm-hmm. So, like, That's a super team. They're not limited by a 26-man roster. It's unlimited.
They are not. That you are right. That is a great point.
They don't just sign a lawyer to an $8 million contract just because they're worried about losing a couple cases. They plan ahead. They get the best lawyer prospects, I imagine. They make some good deals. They're just great at what they do.
Do they have a lawyer farm system?
They have an analytics department, I can only imagine. that's why they've won over $1 billion for Colorado clients. Look, they've got offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, and Fort Collins. Give them a call, especially when the accidents weren't your fault. We're talking car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrian accidents, truck accidents, whatever it can be. 222-2222. Find out if you have a case for free. 222-2222. I'm not firing off a laser gun. It's just all twos, all dazes. Give them a call for free because you know who wins?
Backus and Schenker.
Oh, damn, that was good. Damn. Shit.
The show has become unhinged. Simply love to see it.
It's Minor League Monday, but I want to talk about some books.
Some reading material?
Yeah, Coco Montes will still be the Pacific Coast League Player of the Week tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to him. That might be, hopefully we have other things to talk about too, but like that might be it. Nothing is guaranteed, Patrick.
Do you know that Thomas calls Coco Montes my boo? He's like, oh, did you see your boo?
Oh, yes. I actually did know that.
And it's not because, like, I go off the rails and I'm just the only one that talks about Coco Montes, but I was the first and second and third and probably fourth person to talk to Thomas Harding about Coco. I was like, mm-hmm. This dude's a thing. This thing's a dude. Like, we've got something here for Mr. Coconut, the Smoothie King. How much do you know about Bo Jackson? Are you interested in him? He was kind of maybe slightly before your time, so I sort of feel either you're like, he's a legend, I love him, or I don't love him because he was before my time, but I would like to know a little bit more about what's his deal.
I will say it's a little bit of both, because I am aware that he's a legend, but I don't know, he was a little bit before my time, so it's like, yeah. I haven't like appreciated all that he has given the world of sports.
Yeah, fantastic book just came out. It's called The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson by Jeff Perlman, who I've read a couple of his books. Mm-hmm. He wrote one about the Dallas Cowboys dynasty, which was crazy, the 86 Mets, which was fantastic. So just the author alone mm-hmm. has me excited to read it. But yeah, look, like the dude was the poster child for Tecmo Bowl, like pre-Madden. It was like Bo Jackson, where it had like 99 power. You could run 100 yards and then run back across back to the 1 yard line and then run back. Like, that's how good he was. That's how video game makers saw him. You know, he just like Dion, you know, he was a better player at both football and baseball than Dion, but he didn't have the numbers because he got hurt. But was a fantastic running back with the Raiders. Fantastic outfielder with the Royals, made a catch once where caught it and then to slow himself down, he just ran up the wall. Like, I think Griffey has done it once or twice.
Oh my gosh.
But like, he just ran up along the wall. Like, I can't stop. I can't slow myself down. So he's the last folk here because he kind of came before the social media age and before, you know, you could watch so many teams just about every single week. And sports were just everywhere. It was mm-hmm. still getting to that space in the 1980s. So that's an interesting one to pick up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you for telling us about this.
Joe Kelly. Are you a Joe Kelly fan?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're going to love...
I, yeah, he seems like a character.
Yes. A damn near perfect game by Joe Kelly and Rob Bradford. Kelly has something to say, no surprise there, about baseball's rule changes. So very apt. Like, it's just happening right now. Dude already has a book about the pitch clock, the shift, designated hitter, hacks, overused analytics, as it's described, sign stealing, stale promotion to new fans, and encouraging players' emotions. Let them fight. Let them backflip. Let them talk shit.
I love that. Also, I love the cover of this book with his most iconic facial expression. This is so great.
To Manny Machado.
Yes, he did.
When he was with LA, that's right. He traded him for his jersey or something. Yes, and that came against Manny Machado, too, with that face. Very nice.
I hope you're on mic right now. Oh, my gosh.
Side note. Albuquerque, the Isotopes, I think have a new mariachis logo. You hear that's red, white, and green, like the Mexican flag. I don't know if it's been officially unveiled. I've only seen like half photos of it, and I'm like, okay, this looks amazing. Kelly also talks about some of the conversations that he aired with Commissioner Rob Manfred. So that's interesting. This one comes out later this year, September 2023, because I think it's the 30th anniversary. No crying in baseball. The inside story of a league of their own.
Ooh.
Big stars, dugout drama, and a home run for Hollywood. I mean, I don't think you need to say anything else about this book. Like, if you love a league of their own.
So is this a book about the movie?
This is more a book about the movie, a little bit about the league, Penny Marshall's work as the director for that. Mm-hmm. Just all kinds of stuff behind the scenes. I can't even remember half the stories about Gina Davis and like her athleticism. Cause she ended up qualifying for like the Olympics in archery, like legitimate, like she was like an athlete and maybe she never knew it until, you know, she like tried out and trained and was like, oh, she's athletic. Madonna. You're like, oh yeah, she's a good dancer. She's athletic.
Yeah.
Boom. She's going to be all the way May in center field. Boom. She's a center fielder sliding into third base. Like, so awesome. I'm super excited for this book.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. But I do my least favorite thing about the whole A League of Their Own movie.
Okay.
I hate the saying "no crying in baseball." I cry all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I cry all the time.
I think
there's so much crying.
I think it's a perfect statement because it's not true. But you can just say like, but everyone knows that it's not true. So you can use it whenever you want. You can use when you're like, hey, this guy got, you know, Charlie, let's say today he gets hit by a pitch twice. And you're like, hey, there's no crying in baseball. Charlie went down to first base. He didn't start a brawl. You go, oh, yeah, there's no crying in baseball. And then you got Connor Joe coming back, having a moment, maybe getting a standing ovation from the Coors Field fans after he homers. And people kind of realize, oh, crap. Yeah, that's Connor Joe. That kind of got lost. Did hear some fans say like, we love you, Connor. But he started off the second inning. And so it was like, again, because the game's moving so quick, there wasn't that opportunity to be like, okay, he's on deck. He's about to come up. So it didn't build maybe like it should have. So there's definitely crying in baseball.
Sidebar, did you see that Cody Bellinger had a pitch clock violation because he was just accepting his welcome back to Dodger Stadium?
How dare he? Yeah,
that was I hate that. That makes me hate the pitch clock.
Yeah, that was not great.
Screw the Dodgers. I mean that's true. Also, who cares? About the Dodgers and Cody Bellinger?
This will make you feel better. He did. I think he robbed a home run. He's with the Cubs, and then after the play, he got booed, and he's like, "Hey guys, whoa, what? Come on, remember me? Like, why are you booing me? Like what?" So, but he was laughed about it. I think it's good. I think it's appropriate. And then this final book, which I'm excited about. I don't want to talk about too much, but it's called Tales from the Dugout. Great concept. 1001, not 1001. You don't want to say and for decimal. 1001 humorous, inspirational, and wild anecdotes from minor league baseball by Tim Haggerty. I'd actually forgotten about this book and your connection with it.
Yes.
And saw it completely on my own and go, oh my God, this book sounds amazing. Like all kinds of stories.
I know.
Monkeys. Weird promotions, early 1900s. That's all I'm going to say about it because we've got more this week with it.
Yeah, this book is perfect. No notes. Yeah, I left this in here so you could grab it and you forgot. But we've had an interview with author Tim Haggerty, who is the El Paso broadcaster. Great dude. So excited about this book. It finally did come out maybe like a month ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. But yeah, we recorded a great interview and I think we're going to run that on Friday since we're talking about it.
That's cool. Yeah, there's a story called Headless Crusher. And I'm like, okay, that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think there's too many dark stories in there.
It's like, all pretty delightful. Yeah, it's,
exactly. So that's the other thing too. And again, for I know a lot of people that maybe don't do a ton of reading or prefer audiobooks, stuff like The Grandest Stage, Tyler Kepner's novel about the World Series, which we discussed on Monday's show, and Tales from the Dugout, is that like it's very digestible. Mm-hmm. It's those like smaller pieces. You already have some familiarity. It's not digging deep about... You know, this player, you know, being an orphan and jumping around, and this is the reason why later on he became. It's like, look, here's the story, here's the anecdotes. You'll be laughing, and you might be crying in a good way because there is crying in baseball, and there is Twitter in baseball now, especially for us. So you can, yes, you can vent with us at @DNVR_Rockies. You can celebrate. Hopefully, we'll have some silver linings. We will laugh. We will make the best of it, as always. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me at the Susie Hunter, not just on Twitter, on all platforms.
This has been wonderful, dare I even say momentous. But you know what they say about baseball podcasts and momentum.
What do they say, Patrick?
It's only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you Wednesday post-game right here on the DNVR Sports Channel here on YouTube.